Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Unarian Revelations. Our guests today are fellow Unarians Kevin and Tracy Lynn Kennedy. Greetings and welcome. How are you?
Hey, good to hear from you, Hercules.
Hi, Hercules. We're doing great.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing great, and I'm looking forward to today's topic unfolding. It is something that is on everybody's mind, especially during all the uncertainty that's unfolding in our world, and it'll be very interesting to see what the Unarian Revelations tell us about money.
Well, money is energy. That's the number one thing to remember. So how we use it or misuse it is a manifestation of energy.
So how do we wisely use that energy?
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? Because what we have learned, what I have learned, and all that's all we're involved with these teachings from Unarius, all comes back to personal experience, how it affects us, and how what we've learned from this experience. So I can honestly say that this process of learning how to utilize energy properly and understand how I've used it negatively and how it has affected financially my well-being, it goes back many, many lifetimes. And as I've uncovered those things and changed the bias of those experiences from my past of stealing from people, of you know, holding people down and making them work for me, and them in poverty, I was, you know, accumulating material wealth, of being obsessed with it, all those energies that I put out, all that information that I sent out into the ethers actually was being sent into my psychic anatomy. And so as I began to explore, you know, why was I, because, you know, Tracy and I, we're married and we've gone through a lot of learning experiences with money. Mm-hmm. And we many times had to ask ourselves, why are we in poverty? I mean, It's not like the infinite intelligence is saying you have to be poor, you have to be broke, you know, being completely poor and poverty stricken is the way to spiritual growth. No, that's not what infinite intelligence is saying. That's what I put into my psychic anatomy. That's what I'm doing to myself because of my guilt. So over the years, what we've learned is that if there's a block with the money coming into our lives, not that we want to be, you know, not that we're chasing the almighty dollar at all, but if we're having trouble paying our bills and we don't have peace of mind with understanding that the infinite intelligence is always going to provide for us, there's a block. There's a past life occurrence in the present that is causing that energy, money, not to flow into our lives. So we've gone through many, many different emotional situations where we've had to stop and ask ourselves, you know, what is this? Why is this? Where is this coming from? And had to really understand that, you know, I've had lives where everything was handed to me. Everything was given to me. For no other reason than who I was born to. So this lifetime, whether I knew it or not, and I didn't know it, that was my attitude towards my jobs. That was my attitude towards money, was that it should be just given to me, just because. And that I shouldn't have to work for it. So that was one of the recognitions that I've had, along with many others. But it's those attitudes towards money and wealth and or poverty that had influenced me in this lifetime to form those blocks in my pathway that I had to learn from. So, you know, each one of us has gone through so many different experiences in our past lives. And they're all influencing us today, and especially in reference to money, it can keep us from having the life we want to have and block us from being able to earn what we need to make, you know, we're not here to make a gazillion dollars, but there's no reason in the world why we shouldn't be able to live above the poverty line and comfortably. And if we're not able to do that, again, it's because there's a past life occurrence that's affecting us in the present.
That makes a lot of sense. Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
Sure. So give you a little background. Kevin and I are both very creative people, and we met in Unarius, gosh, like 40 years ago. And when I was married to somebody else, Kevin was dating other people, and we got together in 1992, and we discovered that I had always liked Kevin. I liked him from the minute I met him. But we discovered that we wanted to have a relationship, and we got married a year later, so we've been married. We've been together 30 years. So what happened was, is Kevin, I had a lot of different jobs. I've had over 40 jobs. And Kevin has been in business for himself. He's worked for other people. He's done a lot of different jobs. And he decided when we got together that he needed to start his own business again because he wanted to be able to make sure that we would be financially secure. So he started the business, and 2 months later, I started working with him. And I was working part-time at all these other jobs, but I started working with him. And over the years, we, as Kevin was talking about, the, you know, why do we have poverty? One of the things that I became aware of is I struggled financially for a long, long time. It's only been within the last 10 to 15 years that we aren't struggling as much as we have. But one of the things I realized, let's talk about this, was I had this attitude that, well, I was on a spiritual pathway, so everything would be taken care of. Well, that was a continuity of religious lifetimes, particularly, you know, being a monk or a nun, where everything's taken care of, and you denounce materialism, thinking that that's spirituality or being spiritual. Well, that's crazy, because we need to have certain things to live a life. You need to have a house over your head. You need to have a car to get, you know, to and from places. You need to have food. You need to be able to pay your bills. And that attitude that I had permeated. And then one of the things that happened that was a big awareness for both Kevin and I, and this is probably about 10 to 15 years into our business, and we were just struggling and struggling. We at one point had to declare bankruptcy because we'd made a poor business decision, which was the most deflating thing that I ever experienced. But we recognized, you know what, there's some past energy in play that we haven't yet realized. Well, what happened was a couple years later, we were still struggling after we declared bankruptcy. And we looked at each other and said, you know what, if we can't make this business work, we need to just dissolve it and go on and get jobs, because we've been trying now for, you know, 12, 13, 14 years. Well, what happened was, independently, we had gone to class, and we both had an awareness that Kevin just talked about, of how we had so many lifetimes where we were either born in, you know, taken care of in religion, or born into wealth, where we didn't have to think about money, and we thought that it was owed to us. I had this, like, really strong underlying, well, I'm a special person because I'm on a spiritual pathway, and I'm a good person. So it should, money should just come to me. I shouldn't have to work for it. Well, again, this is not a materialistic thing, but we were at the point, literally, of saying we're going to close down this business. After I had that awareness in class, the next day I got two huge jobs. This was 20 years ago, over $10,000. And I just looked at Kevin and said, and then he had told me he had the same awareness. And I just looked at him and went, there it is. I released that block of that attitude of everything was owed to me. And then it opened up the channel for us to get the work that we had worked very hard for, but wasn't carrying that negative energy of pay me or you owe me, you owe me. It was now, no, I'm really going to earn a living because I'm doing something fair and honest, and I'm going to, you know, help your business succeed by providing a good product. So we've had so many different awarenesses over the years of, and you know, the title of tonight's talk is about how to stop worrying about money. I worried about money constantly because I didn't have it until I started to really work with the principles of Unarius and see that for every effect in my life, there's a past life cause. And once you unlock what that past life cause is, it changes the negative waveforms in your energy body or your psychic anatomy, and you're oscillating at a higher frequency and allows new energy to come in. So it's been a rough, tough road to hoe. But we speak from personal experience of, we worried a lot about money, but working the principles helps change that to where, yes, we still think about money, we still own a business, and we're, you know, constantly have to pay attention to that, but we have to take positive, constructive action and not think that God or the space brothers or the spiritual beings are going to take care of me because I'm a spiritual person. That's a work at it.
Very, very true. But the spiritual understandings that are floating around now, like with the law of attraction, They're telling people that all they have to do is imagine themselves with money. And if they imagine themselves powerfully enough, the money will flow into their lives. And that people are also told that karmically, if they give of themselves to the world, then money, which is a form of energy, will flow in. And just like they're taking care of other people, will take care of them. Are these beliefs not entirely accurate, or am I not understanding?
Well, there's a part of that that is valid, and that is understanding that you, as you give of self, so you know you're making yourself that vessel that allows more to come into your life. That's valid. But the idea that you want to use your mind to manifest money is, well, it goes counter to what we learn in Unaries, which is infinite intelligence, this cosmic manifestation of energy is flowing into everything. And it knows what you need. It understands what your lessons are. And more importantly, again, going back to if you think about something strong enough and it's going to come into your life, well, it may or it may not. But the bottom line is that information going to serve you well when you get to the other side? Because we're all going to die. We're not going to be here forever.
Right.
What are you building in your psychic anatomy by constantly wishing for more money, more material things? Well, that's of a lower frequency. You know, when you go over to the other side, you can't say, well, look at all this money that I made when I was down there in that third dimension. I want to spend it up here now. You know, it doesn't work that way. That energy, that frequency, that understanding of life doesn't travel to the other side. It doesn't manifest itself on the other side. And on the other side, you have to learn more lessons about how to utilize that energy from infinite and creative intelligence in an outgoing, giving, positive manner, constructively thinking of helping your fellow human beings on this world or on the next world or on the higher worlds or on lower worlds, whatever it may be. But again, it's giving of self. It's not inwardly motivated. And that's the problem with so much of this. If you just think of it, you know, strong enough and visualize it long enough and constantly want it and see it and blah, 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 blah. Well, you're directing your energy, your psychic energy, the creative intelligence is a part of you, you're directing it inwardly upon yourself instead of being giving of self. So there's that awareness as an energy being that everything we do, we're either building a more positive future for ourselves or we're building a roadblock that is going to have to be taken apart and learned from so that we can move forward. And what I understand about how energy functions and seeing it in my life and how it happens and understanding, again, we're all going to die. What energy am I putting in full, you know, what energy am I putting in motion? I don't want to be constantly thinking about, I want this. I want that new Cadillac or I want that new Tesla or I want that castle. I want that giant home. Those things are not going to serve me well when I leave this physical body. Those are of a lower material frequency. That isn't to say, again, you know, everything is the balance. That isn't to say while we're here, we shouldn't have a home. That isn't to say while we're here in this world, we shouldn't have a car. That we should be, you know, beating ourselves up emotionally and financially. So these ideas and concepts of life and how to utilize energy, we constantly have to be aware of the balance. The other side of what we're talking about too, though, is and Tracy brought it up, and it is a big part of understanding this. How many lifetimes have I lived as that monk or that priest where I denied myself everything, thinking that that was the way to enlightenment, you know? And Buddha said it best, you know, the balance is where it's at. And every spiritual teaching that you can study talks about that, the balance. So I had to learn, along with lifetimes of feeling like everything should be given to me because it was in certain lives, then the other side of that waveform of feeling guilty, so guilty because, you know, I was living high off the land and high off of, you know, the serfs or whatever else while they were in poverty, that I'd come back and, okay, now I have to beat myself up because I feel so guilty. I'm going to be I'm going to starve myself, and I'm going to be a part of this religion where I beat myself and atone by whipping myself and all those other things. Well, that's the pendulum swinging too far the other way. So the wonderful part about what we're studying in Unarius is we can take these situations and in our present life, and we can trace them back to begin to say, oh, here's the motivating force behind what I'm going through. And if I have a valid recognition, as Tracy gave, you know, talked about earlier about her recognition the next day, the job started flowing in. If I have a valid recognition, it changes. So my life changes. Those circumstances changes. What I like to say is the beep, beep frequency, the beep, beep signal coming from my psychic anatomy, because it changes. Now I'm opening the door for that other energy to come into my life. So it's a wonderful way to explore all the different things that are affecting us, either negatively or positively. And more importantly, if we are studying these principles earnestly and putting them into practice, we are building for ourselves a more positive future, not only on, you know, in future lives, but when we leave this physical world, when we go through those inner planes of light, of being able to have the proper, as you want to call it, that spiritual currency, which is knowledge, to be able to live there intelligently.
Wow. And again, one of the things I admire most about Unarius is that it is a path of taking responsibility and applying principles in your own life and using your life to learn, which is very empowering.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I was just thinking about and talking about this is because you mentioned at the beginning of the talk tonight that people right now are very concerned about money because there's so much uncertainty with the war in Ukraine and what Russia's doing and gas prices soaring and infant formula being gone and or, you know, in shortage. And these are all, you can't tell people, well, you just shouldn't worry about it. Well, if you have a child and you want to feed your child and you can't find the formula, yeah, you are going to be concerned about that. But one of the things that you could do if you can't find the formula is figure out how to make some yourself. Take some type of positive action. But also what we learn to do is to recognize whenever we are worried about something, we're fearful about something, those are negative emotions that are the beep, beep clues that there's something regenerating in our psychic anatomy from past lives. And just that objectivity alone can help you not be so emotional and reactionary about what it is that you're going through. You're not going to starve your child. You're going to do whatever you can to feed that child. You're not going to, okay, so the price of gas is high right now. What's going to go down again? Or maybe there's an alternative way. Maybe you ride a bike. Maybe you take public transportation. Maybe you think about getting a different car that's more, you know, energy efficient. But along with recognizing the past is also taking positive constructive action in your life and not just waiting for something to happen. You have to be an active participant in your physical life, but most importantly, in your spiritual life and in your mental consciousness, and aligning yourself with these advanced beings that are overshadowing all of us is going to help you really make the progress that you want to and gain the objectivity. And it's not easy. One of the tools that we use in Unarius is the journal approach to past life therapy, and that's one of the things I have. You know, I go through a journal every 6 months to a year, and I have cases, full journals, and I bet if I opened any one of them, I could turn to numerous pages and see, and I don't know where the money's going to come from for this because I've had so many fears of it. But then I've had so many awarenesses that have changed the bias that I'm not, it isn't repeating itself as much as it did. I'm much more relaxed about it because I've taken response, as you talked about, which is key component to Unarius, is you take responsibility for yourself, for whatever's happening in your life. And when you talk about the people, you know, believe in the law of attraction in the universe, that's putting it out there. It's not taking personal responsibility and just saying, well, it, to me, it's the equivalent of saying, well, God will just take care of it because I'm a good Christian or a good religious person. God, you know, God will just take care of it. God doesn't take care of it. You take being an active participant in your life and taking responsibility and recognizing that you're an energy being and you have distorted energy waveforms from past lives, that with the awareness and the study and the application, be open to taking that responsibility and accepting whatever it was that you did in your past. And it can be very mundane things, but if you do the same thing over and over again, lifetime after lifetime, you build up a huge negative vortex in your psychic anatomy that causes a block in your present lifetime. So it's not simple, but yet it is. It's personal responsibility for yourself.
And you're right. It's not just the mind, but it's also what you do. Like, for instance, I also keep journals, not as fastidiously as most Unarians, but I do have tons and tons of journals with my dreams, with whatever I happen to be focusing on, like a diet or exercise. And I tell a lot of folks who are into the secret and the law of attraction that, yes, using your mind is very important. Visualizing is very important. But, for instance, with health and exercise, you still have to eat right and you still have to exercise. You can't just hope
yeah,
that those things will come to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You might
right.
be lucky.
That's a really
but,
good analogy.
Yeah, and I found that if I work out for like an hour a day and I watch what I eat, and then if I have a problem, I try to identify the problem. Maybe I'm eating something that's causing a gastrointestinal problem or something, and then try to fix it by trying different things. Eventually, I'll come across the solution. And then if I stick to the solution, I won't have that problem. But it's not just wishing and waiting.
Although
sometimes we do get these windfalls. You know, we do get fortuitous things happening to us. But in the interim, it's taking action and trying to find a solution, taking responsibility for the situation that has entered your life and realizing that even though you might not have been aware of what you did, you're responsible in a great degree for, you know, what's happened to you, perhaps because of your ignorance. And this is an opportunity to learn and grow.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful analogy.
There's another factor to be aware of, too, and it's not that, you know, these, whether you want to call them the space brothers or the angels that work with every one of us or the spiritual guides, but as we are in this world and we have set up things to accomplish while we are here on our spiritual pathway, part of that process is, while we were on the other side, setting up alliances with these spiritual teachers that, you know, are here to help us. And so we said, okay, well, I'm on earth, I'm going to be learning about this, or I'm going to try and overcome this particular problem or this particular past life experience, and I'm going to need help. And those guides were right there saying yes, and we will provide the energy, the intelligence, the love, and the understanding that you need as you're going through that difficult time. So that if you are open, you're going to be able to recognize that past life experience and objectify it, change the bias of it to make your life better and move on and move forward. So one of the ways to overcome that constant fear is to be aware that we have this incredible spiritual help. All of us do. We have a higher self. We have these, if you want to call them, their spiritual guides, your angels. We call them the Unarius Brothers, that are working with every one of us to provide the inspiration and information we need to move forward in our progressive evolution. And moving forward in our progressive evolution doesn't mean that we have to be in poverty, doesn't mean we have to wear secondhand clothes all the time. If you want to, that's fine. But it does mean that it is up to us. Just like you said, it's up to us. I will say one of the things that Uriel did for years with many of the students who came to Unarius, because, you know, we all would show, not all of us, but for the most part, we'd show up with all this burden, money and karma with money. And she would say, you know, just take $5, donate $5 to Unarius once a month. You're broke, but just donate $5. And what you'll find is you're going to be changing your attitude, where you are no longer the slave to money, but now you're beginning to become the master, where you're saying, I am making this decision to do something in a positive way towards something that's helping change the world. And I can tell you without any doubt in my mind that when I started doing that and paying attention to that, it's like all of a sudden that attitude changed. It clicked in my consciousness of, oh, again, as we were talking about, I am not a slave to the money. I am now becoming its master, and I am giving of self, therefore I'm opening the doors to receive more. So I think it's kind of a conundrum with everybody who, you know, thinks, well, if I have money, I won't worry about money anymore. Well, that's not necessarily true. One of the students that came into Yanaris probably, I would say 30 years ago, maybe 35, really wonderful man, Al McGowan. And he was a millionaire, made millions in the plumbing industry. And, you know, when he got involved with Yanaris, I think he probably had accumulated $9 million or something, you know, huge sum of money.
Wow.
But he was constantly worrying about where, you know, whether he was going to be okay financially. And it was silly. And we kind of, you know, I kind of looked down and said, Al, yeah, I didn't even know how to respond because, like, you have no clue what no money means. but to me, it was proof at the time as I watched him and watched his fear. And he was working through it as well and objectifying it and using these principles. And, you know, just like all of us going through these past life recognitions and awarenesses. But it was something for me to learn from in that environment of it didn't matter that he had all this money. He still had that past karma with money that he was working through. So it's something that I think affects all of us in this third dimensional environment of having to learn how to deal with money and using it properly. And recognizing that, you know, accumulating tons more of it is not going to save us, you know, and being completely doesn't mean we're more spiritual. There's that middle ground, that middle way where we learn how to utilize this form of energy we call money and financial gain and or loss to learn more about ourselves and learn more about life. And most importantly, it's not the spiritual guides that are keeping you in poverty, and it's not the spiritual guides that are telling you how to make a gazillion dollars. That's not their job. That's not their purpose. That's not infinite intelligence's purpose. That is what is here as a learning lesson, as a frequency of energy for us to learn from.
Thank you. That's a lot to think about.
It is, and it's something that affects every one of us. And it's just a constant process of taking, as Tracy was saying, these emotions that we go through. And in Yanaris, we learn how to utilize our journals and write through, you know, here's what I'm experiencing, here's the emotions I'm having. And hopefully, if you're open, get more insight to what you need to understand. Each one of us and what those past lives that are influencing our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes about money, where they're coming from. So I would love to say, you know, that once you have this recognition or that recognition, it all becomes better and it's all gloriously fine. Well, it does get better because it has for me as I've worked out more and objectified more about, you know, my abuse of energy and money specifically. It's become easier and I've had, you know, more awarenesses and constantly in that process of learning. But to say that it's free and clear now and I never have to worry about it anymore, well, that's, you know, that just doesn't quite, that's not quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something that we're learning, right?
Yeah, so that seems to never end. Thank you, Kevin. Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
Not at this point, but I did have another past I wanted to share because it was so significant for me
okay.
and our business, and I'm still learning about it. But this was probably maybe 20 years ago. We own a sign and graphic business, and we don't do as much now, but for many years we also sold large inflatable balloons used for advertising or promotions or in theatrical performances at large events. And we had a store on, I'll say the name of the store because everybody will recognize it, is IKEA. And they came to us and they had a location, and they still do in San Diego, and it's in between two major freeways. So their roof gets a lot of visibility. They asked us to make a huge 20-foot long and 20-foot tall IKEA shopping bag with bright yellow with handles, blue handles, and IKEA in blue on it. And they asked how far away would it be able to be seen. So I had some sign guy, and I said, well, I don't know the exact distance, but the letters are, you know, like 15 feet tall. They're going to be able to see them pretty far away. So we made this inflatable. We got a deposit for it. And then the day that they were picking it up, we went and installed it on the roof of the building. And they didn't get us our balance because we were trying to get the the insulation for the inflatable on their roof. And so what happened was, the next day, the owners of IKEA got on the freeway and started driving around and looking at the balloon on the top of their building, and they decided that it wasn't big enough and that they didn't like it and they weren't going to pay us the thousands of dollars that they owed us for the back half of this inflatable. And we're just going, what? We did everything that we did everything that you said. Well, we had to take them to it was an ad agency that was our client, and the ad agency wasn't getting paid by IKEA. So obviously, Kevin and I are looking at this and saying, we're a small company. We need this money. We did what we were supposed to do.
Right.
So, I'm writing my journal. What is it? What is it? What am I living with it? Well, we ended up having to take them to small claims court. We go to small claims court, and the ad agency representative says exactly what I just said, that they did everything they're supposed to do, but our client's not paying us, so we're not paying Kevin and Tracy's business. We said exactly what, we all had the same story, and the judge just looked at them and said, well, you know what? They did what they said they were going to do, and you signed a contract. You need to pay them. And they didn't want to pay us, even after they lost the thing. So, okay, back to the journal. What else am I reliving? What else am I reliving? There's more for me to see. So, and I knew, thinking about shopping and, okay, it's the people that sell things. There's some path to have with stealing from people, but that was conscious mind, superficial. It wasn't really getting to the nub of it. What happened was, and again, I had this awareness in class, I worked on the silk trade route, and I had a store in between days of travel. And, it was outside caravan type of thing, but I owned a store. Well, what happened was is if people went back and forth along this trade route, and, they might do it once a year or once every couple of years or just only do it one time, but are they going to, recognize me? So they'd come and they'd buy things from me, from my store, and I would give them what they thought they were getting, but I would short them all the time. And they wouldn't realize that I basically stole from them until they were days away. So I did this for years and years and years, and eventually I lost my life because somebody came back and was pissed off enough at what I had done, and I lost my life, which I deserve because I was stealing from people the whole time. So I had that awareness, and it was a pretty deflating experience that, I actually had so much details of what I was involved in, what I did, and that stealing was what the people from IKEA were seeing from me in the past, that I sold them a bill of goods, and when they got it, it wasn't what I said it was, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. So I had that awareness, and the next day, the ad agency called us and said, we have a check for you. Come and get it. And it took months to get that payment. So, again, it's not the money, but it was the change in the energy in my consciousness and recognizing that I'd done a lot of people wrong. And I constantly work with that awareness in our business because that's what I do is I sell. And for years, I had so much guilt underlying and not knowing why that I always undersell things and wouldn't ask for the price that I really should because everything we do is custom. So, and I had to realize that was my ongoing guilt from how many times I've stolen from people in the past. And it's helped so much. And I'm having remorse now with talking about it because it was so much and still is a part of my negative energy that I put out towards other people, thinking that I was better than them, that it was okay to steal, there's nothing wrong with that. And I've been so guilty this whole life. I've never stolen a thing. I think I did one time when I was a teenager and, felt bad about it. But, again, that was regeneration of all those lifetimes. And that one particular lifetime, which is pretty bad what I did, but it was a continuity of the attitude of thinking it was okay to steal and take from other people that, you know, it's just owed to me. So, yeah, very deflating, and I've had subsequent realizations over the years about that, but it really helps me to understand in my business that I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm helping people if I have the awareness that these are people that I've had interactions with in the past, and now I'm doing the right thing by them. I'm not stealing from them. I'm helping them to succeed in whatever it is that they're doing. So that's the power of past life therapy, is the positive changes that you have. And it's not about the money. It was about the energy that I misused in the past and have been able to begin to unravel that and turn it around in my present.
And you and Kevin, I've known you guys for a long time now, and you're both very generous with sharing your life lessons and in sharing Unarius and in trying to do the right thing. So I'm sure that this lifetime is going to be one of freeing yourselves of lots of past wrongs you might have done, because you are among the most devoted people that I've ever met to helping others. And you've been very generous with honestly sharing your own experiences, which a lot of people are not willing to do.
Well, it's just one of those things that what I've learned over the years is, as painful as it is to, and deflating as it is to share some of these life lessons and the humility that comes from having to admit, you know, you don't know anything, or what you thought was completely wrong, or that you weren't this wonderful, benevolent person in your past lives. The benefit of what comes back and the peace of mind from releasing that ugly, distorted concept of the world and of yourself, you can't put a price on it. And, you know, as Tracy was saying, you know, she recognized with IKEA, and there's just, I cannot tell you how many times that I have come into contact with a person, and from the very beginning, you know, just the beginning stages of doing the job with them, I will feel, I don't want to deal with this person. I don't want to have to deal with this. And inevitably, that usually comes back to me recognizing, oh, here's more of these, one of these paths that I have to recognize, where I stole from this person or I took something from this person. And it's something that I am just grateful for Unarius that I have that principle, so that I just don't, you know, beat myself up about it, but understand where that attitude is coming from, where that tension is coming from, where the, as Uriel used to call it, the sandpaper between me and that other fellow is coming from. And when I understand that and can release it, then it does. It just changes the whole concept of our relationship and the product that we're trying to do for that soul. So I can go back even just the last 6 months. I've had two or three really large jobs where, again, I had to recognize that I stole from that person. It's kind of like, oh, here it is again. You know, how did that circumstance come about? What was it? Sometimes it's just simply understanding, okay, this time I'm changing that. I'm not doing what I did before. And that's enough to change the bias of that energy. Sometimes it needs a little bit more in-depth awareness to really release that guilt and that uncomfortable tension. So this is the benefit of what we're studying, though, is that with that unlocking and that discharge, I'm not, you know, bottled up and emotional in that circumstance anymore. I'm able to see clearly and learn the life lesson. And sometimes, you know, the life lesson is simply, you know what, I'm getting back what I put out. And that's the way it goes this time, and I'm not going to worry about it. This is something that I need to understand. I've done this and done this to this other person before. So it's an opportunity each time that I'm involved with a person where I'm giving them a, you know, whatever product it is, a sign of some kind, or, you know, a painting or whatever it may be. That's an opportunity for me to give something in a positive way with a change of my own consciousness. Instead of saying, I just want the money, recognizing not only do I want me to be better, but I want you to be better too. Mm-hmm. I want you to get something too. And in that attitude, there's just a complete change of consciousness and concept between the two of us.
Wow. And again, I'm very blessed in having this program because I get to speak to you guys fairly often and benefit directly from all the treasures that you're sharing. So again, I thank you for that. You mentioned today the journaling and past life memories. For folks who want to start studying those a bit more, how would they begin to journal? You gave a lot of hints and directions as you were explaining the journals, but can we break it down like into a step-by-step thing? So if someone wants to start journaling in the way Unarius teaches you to journal, what would they do?
Well, probably the best thing to do is we have a handout that explains the journal process. And they can, whoever is interested, can contact us, Uriel, U-R-I-E-L, at unarius.org, and we'll happily send you the Journal Approach to Past Life Therapy handout. Another, which is outlined in detail, is the Infinite Concept of Cosmic Creation is a book of the energy principles that was brought through by Ernest L. Norman in 1956. And he gave 13 initial lectures that were recorded and then with questions and answers. And one of the chapters is specifically about the tools of past life therapy. And the moderator, as we call Ernest L. Norman, one of the co-founders of Unarius, goes in great detail about how different tools that you can use to begin this process of past life therapy. And what's interesting is that many of us that are, you know, studying at the center and involved in the classes on an ongoing basis have been using these tools for 30, 40, 45 years, and they continue to work. It's not like you use the journal 1 year and you're done and you don't have to journal anymore. It's not like you, you know, whatever the tool is, it's ongoing, and you begin to see patterns as you do this over and over again with, you know, specific areas of what are the fears that you have. That's one of the things that we write down, or what fears do we have, what reactions do we have. Are you judgmental? Are you do you get angry really easy? Do you react, you know, are you fearful of water? Are you fearful of not having money? That's something that's always been on my chart of self-mastery. And you start to see these patterns. And as you recognize that and start to keep track of, and you can do this in your journal, keep track of, well, how many times did I think about money today? Was I fearful? Well, what happens is you're training, in a sense, your higher self to catch it and to become objective and say, ah, there it is. There's my past again. Does it mean that you sit down and say, like Kevin said, you can just say, it's a simple awareness of, there's my past coming in. And that stops that negative flow of energy from the past coming in for you to be objective to get more insight. And you don't always get the answer right away. Sometimes you might get it in dream state, and that's something to write in your journal. Sometimes you might get it when you're taking a shower or you're driving on a country road, not in traffic, but your mind is relaxed, and then the insight, the answers will flow in to what it is that you're reliving, and you start to get more insight. And by seeing these patterns over, for a lot of people, they may get sick a certain time of year. Every Easter, somebody might get sick. Well, that's a good, you know, there's a continuity of a cycle that is unresolved that's causing a beep-beep in your psychic anatomy to manifest in the physical, that there's something going on. So back to the Journal Approach to Past Life Therapy. The best thing to do is to get a journal, tell everybody you know in your house, this is my private journal, and just start writing out just those random thoughts of, I was reacting to this, I was fearful about that, and not try, and you want to analyze, but just getting it out, and then as you start to write, you see, well, gosh, I'm always upset, or I'm always critical of this person. Why am I critical of this person? Rather than let those fleeting thoughts go away, when you sit down and journal, it helps you to be objective and solidify what it is you're going around with. So there's many ways, many approaches to how you can do it. There's no right and wrong way to do it. It's what works as far as being open to your higher self and getting that negative emotion out and being honest and saying, oh, wow, I can't believe it really felt like that. Wow, there's something I need to look at. And put the question out there, what am I reliving with this? What am I regenerating from my past? And eventually you get the answer. Sometimes you get the answers right away. Sometimes it can take years. But if you're earnest and seeking and honest, you will get the answers. And you do that by raising your frequency. And we talked earlier about giving a thought. That's one of the most important principles that we can do, is to get outside of ourselves and, oh, woe is me, and I don't have any money, and how did I, you know, I must have been broken in my past life. Well, yeah, you probably were. You must have stolen from people in your past life. Yeah, you probably were. But you start to break that oscillation with woe is me when you're giving a self and you're thinking of other people by doing something, and you're getting away from your lower self and more in tune with your higher self, and open to inspiration, open to creativity, which is what we want. We want more peace in our lives. So the journal is just an absolutely wonderful tool that, like I said, I have cases full of journals.
I would say too, Hercules, that if somebody said, well, how, you know, they need a little bit more direction, I would say, obviously you need a journal and you need a pen, but set up a time once a day, whether it's first thing in the morning or late before you go to sleep. I personally have always enjoyed doing it before I go to sleep at night, because it releases any kind of tension, and then I'm more open to, as I'm in sleep state, to that inspiration from the brothers, as we call them, the spiritual guides working with me, to receive more information and more help. So I would say, set up a specific time that you want to do that every day, and be, make it a habit, not a negative habit, but make it something that you do, and make it a joy, make it something that you look forward to doing, and follow through with it every day. The other thing that is so very important is, and you anyone will get help if they use a journal. Whether they understand you nearest or not, you're going to get help. But I would say, if you are willing to take the next step and actually begin to study the principles of Unarius, study the texts, because the texts themselves are not just words on a page. They were channeled from these higher frequency worlds through the consciousness of the founders of Unarius. And as you study, you are raising your own consciousness. You're raising your attunement to, you know, from this third dimensional physical life to these higher planes, these higher inspirational ways of living, to these inner worlds, and that's where you're really going to get your true answer. The way I always like to describe it, and I don't know what they call it, they're maybe called a paddle ball or something, where you got the paddle and you got the little ball, and it's got the
elastic
band. Yeah, it was elastic band, and the person whack, 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 whack. Well, that's kind of the way people are when they're thinking about their problems all the time. They're just so into that whack, 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 and they don't break that oscillation, as we call it. So they're just focused. You know, they go around with their problems all the time, just constantly, you know, going in circles with that problem. Well, you're never going to get your answer because you're just on the same frequency. So the journal approach allows us to stop that oscillation and to change the focus of our mind to our higher self. So that's step number one. But even more then, again, is as you study those texts of Unarius, now you're really going to be open to that wonderful love and intelligent oscillation to give you to be able to receive that wonderful answer to discharge the past negative bias that is influencing you in the present. So it's a process. And it's, you know, there's just not a pill you can take to make this stuff change. I wish there was at times, but this is evolution. This is our spiritual evolution. This is what we are working towards, is to get to the point where we are more relative to those inner worlds, and we don't necessarily have to come back to this world. So this is all involved in the Unarius text. We have a beginner's course in understanding past lives and past life therapy, understanding energy, understanding the journal approach to mental health. And it's just a fantastic journey for anybody who wants to make their lives into something, you know, glorious. As far as I'm concerned, that's really what it happens. We change from that caterpillar into that beautiful butterfly as we really utilize these principles.
And Unarius has a treasure trove of information. A lifetime is not enough to study and absorb it all. So there's plenty enough there for everybody. And there are very many portals where you can start, depending on what your focus happens to be, to explore the vast Unarian cosmology. How can people start interacting with the Unarian Brotherhood or the Space Brothers or the Angels or the Spirit Guides, whatever term they choose to use. Would they talk to these beings? Would they request their presence? How can they begin dialoguing?
Probably one of the, which Kevin just talked about, is studying the text, because that raises your frequency, and just asking questions. And you don't want to, you don't direct the brothers and say, brothers, I want you to be there for me. You just are trying to raise your frequency through that study of the intelligent information found in the Aries text, and so that you're oscillating at a higher frequency and more in rapport to be able to get this in this insight. Sometimes it's different for everybody. Sometimes we may see a brother or more brothers in a dream state, but I've never tried to direct them. I just try and be open to my higher self and getting the answers, and that's what happens. Unarius has, as you said, a lot of portals of how we can find out about Unarius, but we have classes, we have books, we have videos, MP3s, which is audio. All the books are on audio. Most of them are on audio. We have video shows that people can watch, and all these outline how the principles work, how you discover past lives, how you resolve the past life issues that you have. So you have to make yourself relative to the frequency of a higher oscillation of these Unarius brothers, the spirit guides.
So I'd say, common language would be then, if I wanted to give you a phone call, I have to have the right number.
Right.
If I'm not dialing the right number, I'm not going to get through to you. Well, in the same sense, if you want to be receptive to these higher intelligent beings that are working with every one of us, you have to have the right phone number. So that phone number and that connection happens, as we were talking about, through the study of the text, because they're channeled from those inner planes of light. And then as far as talking to those brothers, rather than say, oh, brothers, what do you want me to learn? Oh, brothers, tell me this or tell me that. Recognize it's the other way around. Rather than having a question in your mind whether they're hearing you or not, recognize that they are constantly working with every one of us. And as we learn to release some of these past life negations that are forming the block to us being able to receive that inspiration, when we really start to discharge some of those negations from the past, we're going to start to understand and have more gratitude for our life, for the journey that we're on. And in that receptivity, in that openness, in that appreciation of life itself, then you're going to start to really feel that wonderful love oscillation, and you're going to get the answers and the inspiration that you need. So many times, whether it's you're painting or you're writing or you're making music or you're, writing a song or writing poetry or whatever it may be, if you're involved with something in a creative way, they will utilize that openness, as Tracy was saying earlier, to give you the insight that you need. Some people, it comes through in kind of a word form for them. Some people see a picture. Some people just have a feeling. But the realization is it's always there. It's always been there. It's us ourselves who have formed the blocks to keep that from being able to recognize it when it's showing itself in our lives. So these awarenesses and how to utilize the principles, they're taught and they're shown to us through the text. And then we, because this is part of our evolution, have to learn how to tell, well, is this really from a higher self? Is this really from the brothers on the inner worlds? Or is this just my lower nature trying to fool me into thinking something, so I get lost again down this maze of materialism? So that's part of the process of us learning and becoming spirit beings ourselves, is learning to distinguish and, try the spirits and understanding, oh, if this is valid, if this is really from the inner, I'll see that oscillation, that wonderful manifestation of love in my life and that change for the positive in my life. And if it's not, then it's just going to lead me into something that's going to bring me more anxiety, more distortion, more frustration. And that's how we learn. And so we learn how to, in this process, become a self-master. Learn how to amplify the positive and recognize the negative. Also recognize our own misconceptions about who we think we are. Because most people, most of us on planet Earth think we're something really special. And the reality is we got a lot to learn. So it's breaking down the ego self and then learning how to build up that real spiritual self, that real spiritual values of love, appreciation for others, seeing that spark in others, and then amplifying that constructive spiritual creative intelligence in our lives.
And that is a very ancient understanding. If you look at the material that survives from ancient Greece, even the gods are far from perfect, and they have a ways to go in their evolution. And I can say that when I was studying Return to Atlantis from the Unarian revelations, Herodotus started speaking with me. And he started off by answering every single question that I had about his work that survives, the histories, or the history as it's sometimes called. And then he proceeded to direct me to all sorts of information about the pre-Greek empires that existed around the Mediterranean and the Black Seas. So it was quite different from anything my mind could produce. And I continue to learn from Herodotus. So sometimes you'll get a miracle when you start interacting with the revelations. We only have a few minutes left. This time always passes very quickly. Are there any last thoughts you'd like to leave people with, and how can people find and explore the richness that is Unarius?
We have a website, Unarius, UNARIUS.org. We have another website, pastlifetherapy.com or .org, past, P-A-S-T hyphen life therapy. Check out the website. We have ongoing classes on Wednesday and Sunday night that are Zoomed that people are welcome to check out. We also have a YouTube channel and a Vimeo channel, and we have a lot of videos there that people can watch for free. Clips of videos, some longer videos on Vimeo channel. Definitely do that. We have special events. We have one big event every year, the Interplanetary Conclave of Light Celebration, the second weekend in October, that most of that event is Zoomed live. But people are more than welcome to come to San Diego to spend the weekend with us and check it out, because it's a really exciting event. So we have, what else do we have, Kevin?
Well, I think you covered just about everything there is. You go to the website, you'll get all the information that you need. We have plenty of pamphlets and information if people want to order that or get that from us. And then, of course, they can order things from the online store that's there. And obviously, if they have more questions, they can just email us at uriel@unarius.org, and we'd be glad to answer any questions and share more of our own insights as to how we've utilized these principles, how we put them into action, and seen our lives change for the better.
I forgot to mention that we have a lot of books in print. Most basic core teachings of Unarius, and you talked about one of them that goes into different civilizations, Atlantis, Lemuria, Orion, which most people haven't heard of, the time of Jesus, True Life of Jesus book. There's a lot of different civilizations where we have group karma on planet Earth that students have gone through and have written about their realizations from those paths, and Herodotus is one of the brothers who lived at the time of Atlantis and overshadowed I can't remember if it's volume one or volume two, or maybe both of them, of Return to Atlantis that you read. So we have a wealth of information, and one thing that I could leave people with is to be open to your higher self and know that you have a higher self and that you can get help and insight to whatever it is that you're going through.
Thank you. We have less than a minute. Thank you so very much. You're awesome individuals. You're an awesome couple, and you're awesome Unarians. And again, thank you so very much for your friendship and for your generosity.
Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you for having us on.
Always a joy.
Yep. Love talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and are patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing.